Welcome to the Inspired Intentions podcast with SkyTerra Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and I'm joined today with my co-host, Rachel Colasino.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Rachel.
I have a question for you.
Shoot.
Have you heard what is the number one proxy killer disease in the United States?
Proxy killer disease?
Proxy killer disease.
I have definitely not heard.
So have you heard what causes more than 60% of all basic human illnesses?
Like just general, like
in general,
getting the flu, getting a cold, stuff
yep.
like that?
Yep.
No.
Stress.
Stress. Oh, stress. That's not surprising.
So a proxy killer would be something that doesn't, of course, injure you or kill mm-hmm. you directly, but the effect that stress has on people's bodies is something that we've certainly talked about before.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to talk about it again today.
I think it's tough to quantify stress, too. And it's almost like you're talking about it as this proxy killer. It gets that name, like, silent killer.
The silent killer, yeah.
Where, like, we don't feel how much stress is, like, impacting us internally. We might be dealing with that stress or think we're dealing with it, but then we come down with being sick or something comes up in our life that we can't deal with emotionally or mentally. And so, yeah, this sounds like something we've got to discuss.
Yeah, and we've talked before about how just having a lot of stress in your life, working mm-hmm. hard, not sleeping,
oh my gosh,
are almost like badges of honor.
They are
in
big
our
badges
culture.
Of honor. Everybody, you know, loves to talk about how much they're not sleeping or how stressed they are.
Yeah.
How many things they have on their plate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think you guys have heard me say this a lot. I've got so much going on today.
I'm so busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all are.
Yeah. It reminds me of like a lot of our guests who come to our facility in that I think a large majority of them really may not be coping with stress and they might be mislooking at how intense their world is. And so one guest in mind comes to mind in particular. He joined our program and he was here for just a week. He left a little bit early. But what's wild about kind of the conversations we were having is he has a high level job working probably 15 to 17 hours a week, leading his business.
15 to 17 hours
per day, excuse
me.
Yes. Yeah. So, and this is kind of what happens to a lot of folks is it may start off with those 10 or 12 hours and then work just starts to consume them.
Bleeds
and,
over.
And so this is it's a analogy or just a story that is a little bit taxing from the standpoint of you like want this person to slow down. You want them to stop saying yes to work and saying yes to their health. And I think this gentleman struggled a lot because I was really trying to have that conversation that if you don't back off the work, your nervous system can't handle it. This gentleman, he was sleeping 4 to 5 hours a night, clearly loved his family, wanted to get healthy. And I just don't know if he understood how much the work was taking a toll on his body and his mind.
And I think, too, stress reduction can be seen almost as touchy-feely.
100.
And someone who's very successful and very driven in their career may see it as, oh, I don't need to work on that. I'm working hard. I'm very successful, to your point. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
And can't wait.
Yeah.
Should we introduce our guest?
We have a guest.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is actually a return guest. And her name is Shannon Worley. She's the lead therapist at SkyTerra. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Rachel.
Welcome.
What's up, Shannon?
Hi, Jeff.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
In our newly podcast room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's looking great in here.
Newly sound insulated.
Ooh.
It's looking good.
Official.
For yep. sure.
Yeah. We've really brought it up a notch. Just for you, Shannon.
I appreciate that.
It's like close quarters in a black box.
It looks good.
It does look good. Shannon, when you were on last, we talked about a bunch of different topics. And so I think we heard from a lot of people after your particular episode that they found it to be really helpful. And so today we have you back to talk about one really specific topic. And would you like to introduce it?
Sure. So I'm here today to share some information with you guys about a thing called the window of tolerance.
The window of tolerance.
This must have yes. to do with stress.
It does.
Cool.
How did you know?
I might have something to do with
all right.
how
our
we
intro.
Started this off.
Yeah, the window of tolerance.
And of course, we did a little bit of research ahead of time. And from what I've read, the window of tolerance is used to describe a zone of arousal in which a person is able to function most effectively. So we're going to talk today about finding that particular window.
Yes.
Did I introduce it correctly?
Yes, you did. Yes. So the window of tolerance is really our optimal arousal zone. This is the place that we want to find ourselves living in most often. Okay. It does have something to do with the nervous system. It does have to do with stress. We can actually train our brain mm-hmm. and ourselves and our behavior to be able to find the window of tolerance even with stress. Okay.
Wow.
So the window of tolerance, optimal arousal zone, this is the place where you can feel and think simultaneously. It's the place that you can respond versus emotionally react, which is what most of us do when we're very stressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also when we're very stressed or so stressed that we kind of feel shut down even.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is like a state we want to work towards.
Exactly.
We want to try to be in this state throughout our day, and we want to kind of identify some of those obstacles that might be standing in our way to kind of be more in tune with our emotions, that kind of thing.
Yes. Cool. Nailed it.
Yeah. It's tough when you're just reacting all day long. And I think everybody in this podcast room right now has experienced like being in reaction mode.
Oh, sure.
And just maybe not be able to feel like that ability to get to this window that you're talking about. Like,
yeah,
you're
absolutely.
In it and you might not be able to like pull back from it sometimes, just depending on what might be going on.
That's right.
Shannon, I want to go back to your definition a little bit because I want to make sure that we fully explain what the window of tolerance is.
Sure.
Do you ever call it WOT for short or no?
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes. What did you say? I'm just kidding.
Sounds like a new like Super Bowl commercial or something.
Yes, we do, right? It's just, it's easy. You know, we're in the WOT. We're going to regulate into the WOT. When we're working with folks, we do say, you know, let's find some ways that we can begin to support you to regulate back into the WOT.
Mm-hmm.
During your definition, you talked about the ability to feel and think simultaneously. Mm-hmm. What did you mean by that?
So sometimes, a lot of times, when we want to react, right? So say something external factors are causing stress or difficulty or challenge in our life. We want to react, right? We want to solve it. Maybe we want to control it. Maybe we want to push it away, not pay attention to it. And so we call that reacting and not thinking, right? Practicing the pause before we choose to respond. We want to be able to practice the pause, feel what we're feeling, mm-hmm. understand what we're feeling, why we're feeling it, what message it might be bringing, and also think, right? Like, okay, that's what's going on. I can pause for a second and choose a different behavior so that I'm not just reacting to the feeling.
So being in WOT is like our time to process, our time to slow things down and decide whether we do want to make a decision around it or we want to like sit with it a little bit, where like I'm sure some things, depending on your WOT abilities, if that's used correctly.
that's good.
You're going to, if it is something you can respond to quickly and you're in a place where you're experiencing your emotions and your feelings, then that's okay. But I think a lot of things that maybe our listeners are dealing with, whether it's grief, whether it's shame, those are some things that take longer to overcome, would be my guess, instead of just trying to solve that guilt right away, per se.
Yeah, absolutely. I think our expectation is that we start, you know, here at zero, if you can just imagine in your mind, right? The zero.
Shannon, you're always so good with images.
Thank you. We're starting at zero, right, on this side of the line, however you want to see that in your brain. And then we're just supposed to go on this trajectory of a straight line, right, all the way to, say, 100.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not really reality when it comes to uncomfortable emotions like Jeff's talking about, things that may pop up for us along the way.
Could we stop there for a second?
Sure.
What would you say are a lot of the common emotions? I mentioned grief, shame, guilt. Do you have others that you think go along that line that you're explaining to us?
Yes. So grief, shame, guilt, embarrassment, mm-hmm. jealousy, hurt,
anger,
sadness,
anger,
depression.
Fear?
Fear.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, there's a
yep.
lot
anxiety,
of them.
Anxiety.
Ooh.
There's a lot of them, right? A lot of them.
Even just like mood too.
Mood.
Yeah.
And the thing with these, right, uncomfortable feelings is that we're never going to actually get rid of them. So they're going to happen in life. I think that's the thing that a lot of people, their perception might be, I do these things, XYZ, and it's going to get rid of, per se, these mm-hmm. uncomfortable feelings, but they will come back, right? That's what we kind of referenced the last time about riding the wave. These things will come back. And so it's how do we change our relationship to them so that we can have a quality of life that is, you know, a good quality of life for us, even when these things happen, uncomfortable things
happen.
So
it's like when you're, like how you're looking at it is super important for your ability to get into WAP.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. Shannon, in your example of 0 to 100, what did 0 and 100 represent?
Yes, sorry. So 0 would be the starting point, right? So let's just, may I use grief for an example?
Sure.
Okay. So let's just say we have something happen, right? We have a traumatic event, maybe it's loss, and boom, starting point is 0, right? For that grief to begin from that specific situation. We think that we're supposed to go through some sort of, you know, so we travel on the line from 0 to 100.
It should be linear, is what we're thinking.
Thank you. That's the word I'm actually looking for. Linear, that we're going through these stages, right? And then we're going to get to 100. I'm using 100 as a stopping point. And then we've mastered grief.
So at 100, I have no more grief. And that's what we're told to believe.
That's what we are conditioned to believe.
Wait, we're never going to grieve again?
That's not correct.
I know. Yeah. I'm following. I'm just checking in with our listeners.
I know you are.
I think
are.
It's
I
almost
know.
Like when you think of this line, if folks could see you in the studio right now, it like more should be this jagged line,
that's
like
right.
up and down.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's expectation might be this linear trajectory, right? However, it's more of like just what Jeff said, a roller coaster, an up and down, a sideways, back and forth, plummet, skyrocket. Mm-hmm. And we don't know when it's going to come back. You know, we could be somewhere, a song might come on, we may have a certain smell, maybe someone mentions something to us, and then all of a sudden there's grief again. And so how do we, right, change our relationship to it, knowing that it's going to come?
It's going to always be there.
It's going to be there. And where does it live in our body? What are the signs that we all of a sudden may go into, you know, a certain part of our nervous system? And then how can we recognize that, get ahead of it, and regulate into the what?
Have you there heard of this phrase by Mark Manson before? Every problem leads you to the next problem.
And we only
upgrade to potentially bigger problems. I think we could use this with emotions. Like every emotion you have leads you to the next emotion.
Sure.
And at times, like when we're talking about grief and shame and guilt, like these are serious emotions that need to be treated with respect and not with like, hey, like this is touchy-feely. Like, these are important things to solve.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
We probably do, as life goes on, you think about it, you do upgrade the tougher emotions sometimes. Whether you have kids that come into your world, you have different things that happen throughout your entire life that, you know, really make it probably hard to stay in that walk
when you want to. And you're speaking a little bit to distress tolerance. I think I might have mentioned that last time. If I didn't, we need to talk about that, because what we want to do is actually create distress tolerance. So distress is the uncomfortable feelings. It's the challenging moments. It's the things we don't, you know, because they're so intense, right? Mm-hmm. We do want to honor them. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to use that word honor, right? We're going to give it space. We're going to respect it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to honor it.
This is something you're going through. It's okay.
Exactly. Exactly. And by doing that, we build a tolerance to the distress. So each time it comes back, we have more resiliency to change our relationship, to say, oh, there you are again, grief. There you are again, shame. I know you. I don't have to choose the way I did before when I'm reacting. Mm-hmm. I can choose differently this time.
And that's what you mean about the ability to think and feel simultaneous versus just emotionally react.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you think
yep.
this comes with experience too?
Sure.
Like that's part of it?
Yeah. I think it's a skill set. You know, if you don't, how can you use information if you don't know the information? Hmm. Right? So it's a skill set to be able to, it takes practice to get back in touch with that. For sure. Cool.
Would you say, Shannon, that through the practice that you are widening your window of tolerance? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Absolutely. I do want to mention that trauma, like a traumatic event, and extreme stress can limit our window of tolerance. So we really want to pay attention.
Yeah. So it like closes it in.
It
like
closes
when
it
Rachel's
in.
Talking about it, widens it out.
Yes.
It starts to close it in when you have something really
yes.
deep
yes.
happen.
Yes. So okay. if we want to widen our window of tolerance, if we have had something traumatic happen, we want to make sure that we're getting the appropriate support, therapy.
That's a great point. And, and maybe to echo the reverse of that, don't you think like the everyday stressors add up?
Sure.
They add up. And so slowly, probably for a lot of people, now that we're getting into these visuals in this room here, it starts to close in just with every kind of notch, every little stressor that hits you each day.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're not paying attention, right, to what's going on in your nervous system, all these little stress pieces add up, and then boom, there goes the window of tolerance, right? It's wide open, and then it starts to close slowly but surely.
So you've started to bring in the nervous system. How does that relate to the window of tolerance?
Yeah, so we have this wonderful nervous system in our body called
I've heard of this.
Oh, you have?
I think.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
The autonomic nervous system?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is like a control system that it unconsciously is responsible for, let's say, your heart rate, your respiratory rate, your digestion. Okay. So it's taking control over things that you don't have control over, right? Like bodily functions and systems. Within the autonomic nervous system, we have two different parts. We have a sympathetic part of that nervous system, and then we have a parasympathetic part of that nervous system. And these are the parts that stress, right? Stress, trauma, will affect. Okay. These are places that will go per se, that our body will try to go into, for, perseverance. Sorry.
So no, that's okay. So depending on what we're dealing with, we might go more sympathetic and more parasympathetic.
Exactly.
Just depends what's coming our way.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the window of tolerance, I'm leaping ahead, but I want to make sure that I understand. If my window is wider, does that affect which nervous system?
I think I know the answer to this.
I bet you do.
I think you're probably more parasympathetic. Is that right?
Yeah, we want to be careful. So yes, so the window of tolerance, if you can imagine again, that the sympathetic nervous system is up high, right? Like it's on top.
Can you describe that for our listeners, Shannon?
The sympathetic nervous system? Yeah, okay. This is the place that we call fight, flight, or freeze. We also call this hyperarousal. This is when we are very high, very alert. We might be agitated. We may be reacting with anger. We may be impulsive.
So we don't have the ability to think and feel simultaneously.
Right. That's exactly right.
It's kind of the reverse of someone who's very sympathetic to someone else. Mm. That's what's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to throw that out there. Is like
there
maybe
you,
we
yeah.
maybe we should could have named the nervous system a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Mm-hmm. That's a
Whoever
good thought.
Whoever invented it, think about it.
Good thought.
Noted.
All right. So Noted. Now that I've distracted everybody, let's go ahead.
Yeah. So if you can think of that being up, right? Like up, hyper. Okay. Then we have the parasympathetic as the nervous system, as Jeff mentioned. Mm-hmm. We can think of that as being on the bottom, down. All right. Down. In between those two parts lives the window of tolerance. Right?
That's a good reference.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes people think like, oh, you should be parasympathetic all the time. But no, the sympathetic nervous system actually helps us with...
Has value.
Our ability to get things done, our ability to maybe, just perform at higher levels and do what our body needs as well.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jeff's exactly right. We don't want to be living in either nervous system part, sympathetic or parasympathetic, for too long. That's where we're going to get into trouble. That's where we have the physiological responses, such as, you know, the illnesses, the mental health responses. So we don't want to be down too long. We don't want to be up too long. We are going to bounce back and forth between the two because they both of them have value, so that we can land more often in the window of tolerance.
So we're using both systems to how we want to use them. We're not falling into reaction mode.
Yes.
You know who, just to pause for a second, you know who I think is really parasympathetic?
Who?
Our executive producer, Alan. He's super chill.
He is.
I think
he's very relaxed.
Yeah, he might be that guy that we bring up a little bit. I might be that guy too. I don't know.
You know when that's helpful though? when we're getting ready to do a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, it's so helpful.
He helps us relax.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
It's a big value.
It is a big value.
What you're saying is actually helping me a lot in understanding this more, because I think sometimes it's like, oh, promote parasympathetic dominance. Like, that's a word that's out there in like the health and wellness mm-hmm. side of things, where it's more about like just being able to control the two systems not necessarily control is maybe not the best word, but to know where you are and to be able to bring yourself down if you're kind of going too far in one direction.
Yeah, totally. Yep. So if you could imagine, okay, so let's go back to sympathetic for a second, right? Mm-hmm. Fight, flight, or freeze. This is a place where hunter and gatherers lived. Okay. This is where we are hunting for food. We're trying to take care of our family. We're trying to stay alive. So if you can imagine what that might feel like, that's what we're doing to ourselves. Now, the input is different today. It's work emails. It's our phones. It's mm-hmm. telephone, mm-hmm. whatever, texting. It's toxic relationships. It's unhealthy boundaries. It's all of that stuff. It's input, but it's putting us into a lot of times that sympathetic nervous system. Yeah. Now, it could be putting us way down into parasympathetic, but mostly it's going to be up there. So that's why fight, flight, or freeze. And sometimes we'll shut down because our bodies are literally trying to protect us, right? That's the whole point.
The body like recognizes that this is too much to handle.
This
is overwhelming.
Yes. What does mm-hmm. that feel like, Shannon, for people? What are some signs to recognize when you're in that state?
I think like physically in your body, you'll tense, right? We all feel stress in certain places, and our body will hold on to trauma. It will hold on to trauma. It will hold on to stress. And if we don't address it, it will manifest. So it could be heart disease. It could be increased headaches. It could be sleep deprivation. Memory, concentration, focus, anxiety, depression,
appetite,
weight loss, weight gain, all kinds of things that blood pressure. The list can
That's
go on
one.
And on.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually feel paralyzed, meaning that in certain areas of your life, you're not able to optimally function, right? Because that window of tolerance is the place of optimal arousal.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not in that and we're in one of these extremes, we're not going to be able to function at our optimal level in all areas of our life.
I think freeze is one of those ones folks don't think of either. It's like you just stop.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just stop dealing with what you
yep.
maybe need to deal with to broaden that window back out.
It could look like apathy, right? Mm. Becoming apathetic, just not caring, not addressing things. Exactly.
That's not a great place to be, I imagine.
Yeah.
No.
So, Shannon, if you're spending a lot of time in hyperarousal, parasympathetic, are the feelings and symptoms different, or is it pretty similar?
Can you ask me that one more time?
So we were just talking about if you're spending a lot of time in sympathetic nervous system, if you're in parasympathetic, what does that look like?
Yes. Okay. So this is going to be where we're numbed out. Maybe we have a lack of emotion. Mm. Maybe we're not reacting at all. There's no empathy. Memory focus. Both of memory focuses in both of those. So it's almost the opposite. We call it rest and digest because there is value to it, right? Because it's telling you your body's safe when you're slowing down. So your body thinks, okay, I'm safe, right? I'm slowing down. I'm going to be able to function. My digestive system is going to be able to function. So there are things working, right? But if we're down too low for too long, that can become an issue as well. This is where we might be looking into, mood disorder, right?
Would it be more like on like the depression side of things? Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of folks suffer from.
Yeah.
Just in general, like 1/3 of people will have feelings of depression at some point in their life.
Yes. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
How does trauma, I know you mentioned before trauma, how does trauma play into all of this?
So I think I mentioned earlier that if we have had a traumatic event, right, it literally, our body keeps the score. So there's this wonderful book written by Bessel van der Kolk called The Body Keeps the Score. I highly recommend that book if you're interested to learn about how stress and trauma can affect our body physically. Our body will hold on to it.
We'll put a link to that in our show notes.
Yes, awesome. Yeah, it's a great book. Our body will hold on to it, okay? And so it will manifest, like I said earlier, and it could be a very serious illness. And so if we have had a major traumatic event, it decreases our window of tolerance enough. We want to make sure that we're getting appropriate support for it.
Those big events really have to be dealt with.
Yes.
And it almost sounds like what I'm hearing is it has to be dealt with like sooner than later.
Yes.
Because it's almost the big events happen and maybe some of those things just keep adding up because we're not dealing with it.
Yeah.
And then the body holds on to it.
The body holds on to it. And if we don't, right, not only does it decrease the window of tolerance, boom. You know, it could be 5 years later, 10 years later, all of a sudden we're like, how did I get here? What is going on? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And that's sometimes can be the source. So we just really have to pay attention that we are addressing it sooner than later.
So we've talked about being above the window of tolerance and what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about being below the window of tolerance and what that feels like. What does it feel like when I'm existing solidly?
This is exciting.
No. Just before I even finish, when I started asking that question, what does it feel like when we're existing solidly in the window of tolerance? Shannon made this. Well, I wish I could.
She got excited like me.
She got excited. She kind of looked upward. She like shook her head.
It's like a revolution
she
probably
smiled.
When you're in the
eyes
middle.
Eyes were wide.
Yeah.
What does it feel like?
Gosh, it feels so like just a release, a release. You're able to just fluidly think, feel. You are able to feel safe. You're able to have increased empathy for other people. You are able to really tap into your values, your ethics, things that are important for you. Your choices, your decisions are made from this place of like the pause, right? Like, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? Right? Whatever that is, whether it's a response to somebody else's behavior or not, or a choice or decision that you're going to make. It's just this place of, so I talk about the window of tolerance in Stress Redefined.
Which is a lecture at Skytera.
Exactly.
It's a core lecture. We do it every week.
We do it every week.
Super important.
Yes.
Very important one.
Yes.
Core curriculum.
Yes. Got to come to experience it.
Yes.
I literally draw a window on the board, and then I put little curtains with it, and I draw birds in the window. And
such good images, Shannon.
Are you a good bird drawer?
Oh,
is that like
really
a thing?
Not really.
No.
Kind of like stick figure birds.
Okay.
But they work.
Did you guys ever see that movie Birds? Super scary. Like Alfred Hitchcock.
That's not the imagery we're trying to create.
No, I'm giving the flip side of it. Everyone learns differently, and some people have to know what it doesn't look like.
Okay.
I know we've covered this, but people know the movie Birds.
Fair enough.
That is not the window.
Okay.
The what we want to lead.
No. Yeah, so if you can just picture not the Alfred Hitchcock bird, however, a nice window with some curtains and a sun and whatever bird you would like, that's how I like to imagine the window of tolerance. It's this place of peace, calm, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you're able to just function at your optimal level. Maybe you're moving more. Maybe you're paying more attention to your nutrition. You're sleeping better.
Sounds like you're putting yourself first.
You absolutely are.
Kind of blends in with that self-care equation of things.
Yeah, you're able to hold boundaries with yourself and other people. Right?
Yeah.
This is where we want to be.
Sounds like a nice place.
I think I'm there rather often. And that's maybe the question I have is like, no one's ever like perfectly in the window for their 24-hour day, right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to give like that perception.
Yeah.
We just want to practice being able to identify when we're not there and try to regulate ourselves there more often.
And what I'm also kind of gathering is like you can create routines around this so that once your awareness is heightened, which is the first step to changing behavior, triangle of change. You then literally stay within that window more often because you have high awareness and you've developed some routines. Like I love the word boundaries. It's something we talk about a lot. You now know that these boundaries are important for you so that you can manage these stressors, the big ones and the small ones that come up every day.
Exactly.
That's
cool. Exactly right. Yeah. I love it. I love
felt my
that
mood
you know.
Changed through this episode.
You
know,
did?
Like when we did start talking about like sympathetic and then you could feel that kind of change.
Yes, especially watching Shannon's reactions.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
She might have to be our next Facebook Live podcast when we have her on again. That could be a lot of pressure.
We're having a live podcast?
Not right now.
Not right now.
Okay.
And she just left the window of tolerance when we said that.
So you guys are already doing it.
We're helping. Yeah, we're creating awareness.
Shannon, what are some ways that if I notice I'm not in my window,
yeah,
what are some ways that I can get into that window of tolerance?
Oh, that's a great question. I love this one. So let's start from sympathetic, right? That's that hyper arousal place. This is where you're going to want to do the more grounding, centering type of immediate.
To bring yourself down.
To bring yourself down. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this would be something where maybe we are listening to sounds like water. Maybe we're having warmth. Maybe we're having mm-hmm. containment. Maybe we're doing something like using a weighted blanket. Maybe we are experiencing or using essential oils, grounding blends like lavender, chamomile, mm-hmm. stuff like
that.
Could
it be as simple as like breath? That's something we haven't spoken about a lot, but probably another warning sign of this state is like you're either stopping.
So if you want to calm down, right, we're going to want to do those long extended exhales, mm-hmm. okay? I mean, breath is a key component here. Thank you for bringing that up, Jeff. Breath mm-hmm. can immediately regulate your nervous
system right away.
Whether it's bringing you down from sympathetic or bringing you up from parasympathetic. That's one of like the quickest things you can do for yourself. Easy access.
And
Develop just a breath practice.
Yeah, definitely breath practice and nasal breathing.
Yes.
Oftentimes when we're in that sympathetic state, we're mouth breathing all day. We might be talking a lot. We might just be not breathing too. And so oftentimes a lot of people are over breathing. So this is really an easy step that our listeners could take.
Absolutely. Nose to nose.
Boom.
Nose to nose. Boom.
Boom.
Yep. So those are some things you can do to come down from sympathetic. All right. Now, those are quick access coping skills. We do want to still make sure we're paying attention to the feelings, right? We want to get there. So coming up from parasympathetic, right, we're going to bring up. This would be the opposite. Maybe we're playing catch. I literally keep a ball, a small ball in my bag. So if I'm feeling a little low, I take it out and I just start to toss it.
What kind of ball?
I love that.
A therapy stress ball.
One of those ones you squeeze?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Does that work, Shannon, when you do that?
It does.
That's really neat.
I almost was going to think that she was pulling out a baseball because her son is a really great baseball player.
I might have to switch that ball in my bag.
Because then it'll make you think of him. And when you throw it up.
My happy place. Window of tolerance.
We're solving things on air.
We are. Look at us
all the time.
So cool.
Teamwork. So play catch. You know those big yoga balls that we call physio balls?
Mm-hmm.
Sit on one of those. Roll around on it. Maybe use that as your
Can you bounce up
chair.
And down?
You can bounce up and down.
So I'm hearing movement.
Movement. Yes. Mm. Maybe we are moving. Maybe we're doing some standing yoga poses.
I'm also hearing like enjoyment.
Absolutely.
Like maybe it is going to whatever it is that makes you happy and
Absolutely.
Brings you up out of that bottom zone there.
Yep. That's exactly right. We could also use essential oils here. We could do the more uplifting ones like peppermint, spearmint, eucalyptus,
lemon. I think Shannon really likes essential oils.
Yeah.
She does.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's nice.
We have an essential oils class now.
That's right. We do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there we go. So, got to come to go to essential oils. You can figure out which ones we can use to regulate our nervous system.
There you go.
To help regulate our nervous system.
So, Shannon, is there anything that would cause us to be in a fake window of tolerance? Mm.
Yeah, that's a really good question, right? Fake what? Yes. So let's just talk about that for a second. Some things that might cause us to be in a fake window of tolerance would be food. Okay, now we're not talking about just eating our consistent meals. This is where we're using food, alcohol, other substances, maybe there's some other things as the majority of our coping skill. And so often when we are using these things, we're trying to numb out or not pay attention to those uncomfortable, intense emotions mm-hmm. that we have been talking about throughout. And so they're going to provide a very quick fix. We call it a quick fix. It's a very quick regulation of the nervous system, whether it's bringing you up or down. So we're training our brains, right, to say, okay, when I go to the food or whatever it is for me, it immediately gives me the sense that I'm in somewhat of a window of tolerance, because I'm either way up in sympathetic and hyper aroused or way low in parasympathetic and hypo aroused. And so our brains say, okay, go to the food, go to the alcohol, go to whatever, over exercising, other substances, because you're going to regulate. The problem with that is it's not sustainable. It's not a healthy, sustainable way to address nervous system regulation. Now, it's going to make us feel good, right, in the moment.
It doesn't actually solve, like, what we need to change or what will make us actually feel what we need to feel.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. It's not going to address the underlying need that's wanting to be met.
And some people do these different responses from a standpoint of that might be really extreme for some folks, but that it might be little things like going out and having a beer after work or something like that.
Yes, yeah. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that, right? It's just that we don't want to do that for the majority of our coping skill. We want to say, I know what's going on. I've identified it, right? Because now I know about the different parts of my nervous system. I know the signs I'm in sympathetic, signs I'm in parasympathetic. Now I got to pay attention to the feeling. What's going on with that feeling so that I can choose differently, right? The respond versus react, emotionally react, and choose a different way than going for the quick fix to get into the fake what.
Recognition of what's actually happening.
Absolutely. Awareness is always the first piece of the puzzle.
Awareness.
Man, I'm going to really pay attention to fake what now.
Yeah.
I want to be in the real what, yo. All the time,
right?
As much as possible. And I think that's almost like something we can all strategize around, like individually, and use some of these strategies you said, whether you do feel sympathetic or too low parasympathetic,
right,
pull yourself out of those states sooner than later.
Yeah.
Shannon, is awareness what you would tell our listeners? So if someone's listening today and they want to know, what's the first thing I should do? What's the easiest thing that I should do? What's the first step? Would it be that awareness, or is there something else that you would recommend for people?
I would say awareness. I mean, you have to be aware that something's going on, right? And unfortunately, a lot of times we've gotten to this critical place that we've not paid attention for a long time to the stress. Just being aware about what you were talking about in the very beginning, right? The proxy killer, just being aware how intense stress is.
It is.
And what it can do to our body and our mind. I mean, this is no joke, right?
I read recently that nearly 50% of people lie in bed awake because of stress.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The ruminative thinking, which is that constant thinking over and over, right? These things are significant. Mm-hmm. And again, your body will keep the score. Literally. Ooh. I love the title of that book.
I think that might need to be the title of our podcast. That I can see why you chose the title. Your body will keep the score.
Yeah.
That's what you were referencing earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. So awareness that's stress is a silent killer and it will do a lot of things.
Great. Shannon, let me just go through a summary for our listeners. Let me make sure that I have everything correct. So window of tolerance is the area in which you are acting and thinking optimally. So you're able to think and feel simultaneously at the same time. You're not making decisions just based on emotion.
Yes.
Above the window of tolerance, we have that sympathetic reaction, that sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight or freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Below the window of tolerance, we have that parasympathetic where you're very low energy. You want to be in the window of tolerance to get you there. Something that you can do from either state out of the window of tolerance is breath work.
Yes.
Nasal breathing, especially. Essential oils to either bring you up or bring you down. And then your body is keeping the score. So that stress that you're not dealing with, the feelings that you're not dealing with are going to manifest possibly later in several different ways. And the very first step to getting into that window of tolerance is awareness.
Absolutely, Rachel.
Did I miss anything?
You did not. That was great.
Great summary.
That was a great summary.
Thanks again for being on today, Shannon.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming back, Shannon.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
You crushed it.
Thanks.
You really did, Shannon.
Yeah, this is good stuff.
You guys help. A lot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The Inspired Intentions podcast is a production of Skytera Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. Send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. Subscribe on iTunes and everywhere podcasts can be found. If someone you know might benefit from this podcast, share Inspired Intentions with them and give us a 5-star rating. Join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life. Thanks for listening.